Book of Revelation and chapter 7, verse number 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And with this reading of his word, we trust the Lord will bless it to us and all that has gone before in his name. Firmly implanted in my mind's eye tonight has been this vision that was transmitted to the beloved apostle. And I want to bring it to you as I feel I ought in relation to all that has gone before in the gospel. I don't think you have ever visualized a multitude as vast as the one presented to us in verse 9. In fact, dear friend, it is its vastness that fills our gaze as we look upon it. I want to term them as the company of the redeemed. When I was a little boy, I've reminded you of this situation again before. And I do so again. And attending Sunday school, there was another hymn that used to come onto the gospel sheet before our eyes. And this was another hymn that caused my soul to tremble as I stood on the floor of that gospel hall among 600 to 700 children. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand. Children whose sins are all forgiven, a holy, happy band singing glory. And as my youthful lips sung out those words, often, dear friend, I wondered, would I ever be amongst that throng? And that's the challenge I want to bring to you tonight, as you view the vastness of the company of the redeemed. The question is, will you be there? Now that is the most important thing. Because while you're in the gospel meeting tonight, and it's good, and we're glad to see you, and we do want you to come again, if God will. But the thing that should be engaging your attention at this moment of time is this. Will I be amongst that throng, all clothed in robes of white? And join to swell that gladsome throng with pleasure and delight. I can answer, friend, I shall, for I have been redeemed. And as you sit in this gospel meeting, I want this to penetrate your very soul. Though that company is vast, a multitude of every tribe and tongue and nation and people, yet it could fill the very heaven itself, and you be absent. Now that's the solemn challenge of these words. I know that as I look at that throng, not only is it marked by its vastness, but I looked at this and they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. You know, dear friend, there was a day when we couldn't do that. Because, as our Bible says, your sins are separated between you and your God. And there was a terrible distance once existing between our souls and God, which, thank God, the precious blood of Christ has removed. And now, they're before the throne. That throne of which our brother spoke tonight, in all its majesty, in all its purity, in all its righteousness, in all its holiness, here is a multitude that know no distinction but of every tribe and nation and people. And thank God they know no distance. Why? The distance has been removed. And they're standing before the throne. Oh friend, the nearness, the blessedness of that place fills our hearts tonight with joyful anticipation. To think that we poor mortals of clay, destined for the dust, humanly speaking, are one day going to bear the brightness and the radiance of that unimaginable throne and stand. What brings us there? Thank God, no works of ours. Thank God, nothing of our merit. But as we stand before that throne, as we will see in a moment, dear friend, our song will be unto Him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in His blood. That's what brings us there. We've been to Calvary in faith. And we've seen the sacrifice burnt wholly to ashes. And we've put in our plea as our brother pleaded with you tonight. We put in our plea. And as the live coal, as it were, from off the altar has come, lo, this has touched thy lips, thy sin is purged. Thank God we know nearness. But oh, that day when that company gathers around the throne, dear friend, in all its vastness and in all its vindication, not of anything of their own, but of Him who died and bled upon the tree. You'll notice, friend, they are red in white robes, clothed with white robes. Not good. There they stand in all the virtue of the work of Calvary. Once the stain of sin was upon them. Once, dear friend, they were contaminated and polluted by the dirt and filth of sin, as our brother has described it so adequately tonight. For all to think of that company clothed with white robes, in all the virtue of Him who never sinned. What a blessing. And it says they've got palms in their hand. Isn't that good? Ah, friend, when we think tonight of all the effort of the devil, and we think of all the hostility of his forces, and when we think of all the antagonism of ungodly men, and we think, dear friend, of all the enmity of the flesh, of the world, and of the devil, that would crush us and try to keep us out. That day we'll have palms of victory. No defeat. Through him who loved us. Now the thing is, will you be there? Could I just imagine for a moment, friend, that there's someone breathing God's air in this meeting tonight will not be there? I cannot say it's you, for I don't know. Have you asked yourself the question, where will you be? If you're not amongst the number of the redeemed, if you don't stand before the throne and before the Lamb, where will you be, friend? I think I've told you, and if you weren't here, I must tell you now, God will have a place for you. For when he closes out all evil and shuts it out forever, it'll be in the lake of fire. What a strange paradox. But friend, it symbolizes the righteous indignation and the holy judgment of God on account of sin. When I was at school, I didn't learn an awful lot, but I did get this, that a lake takes in, but never gives out. And is God not using that word to challenge your soul tonight? That is, friend, once the soul, once the person in spirit, soul, and body reaches that all-consuming lake, there is no giving up. That's where you'll be. I want to tell you, friend, I'm never so happy, and yet there's a tinge of sadness in my soul when I say it. Thank God I'll be there. And I'm not being selfish. But you know, friend, I'm glad for the moment in my experience when, through the grace of God, I made ready for heaven by trusting Christ as my Savior. What about you? The next verse speaks of the cry of the redeemed. And it says, they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. That's good, isn't it, friend? You see, our song is about him. And our song is unto him. For our song comes from him. It is termed in the Psalm 137, it's termed the Lord's song. That's where it began. And that's the song we'll sing on that day unto him. What a blending, friend. What a melodious song it will be when the company cries their anthem of praise to our blessed Redeemer. When every vibrant and vibrant fabric of our being will be attuned to him. Where will you be, friend? Mingling your cry with the loss. And you'll look back to this moment in this meeting when the preacher reminded you of it. And there will be the worm that will never die. There, dear friend, will be the torment that will never, never know relief. There will be the just perdition to the soul that has rejected the offer of salvation which God has offered and provided at the infinite cost of his well-beloved Son at Calvary. Salvation to our God and unto the Lamb. The one who thought it, and praise his name, the one who bought it. That's the cry. A question is asked by the observer, and John is interested too, and he's asked, who are they? And whence came they? In other words, he's asking, how did these people get here? Would you ask the question tonight, friend, with these words our brother has presented to you ringing in your very soul in the meeting, would you not ask, how could I get there? How came these people here? And I move, dear friend, from the company of the redeemed and the cry of the redeemed to that simple word that our brother has presented already, to the cleansing of the redeemed. What happened? It says, these are they that have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Could I stay with that for a minute, friend? Oh, let me bring it to you again from this book. For as I've told you and I've told the believers, and I like to tell the saints and the sinners the same gospel message, the book of God and any particle of it is in itself a full entity. And chapter 1 will tell you that the blood of which you've been singing, which your brother has proclaimed, is the blood that gives release from the very chain of sin. It sets us free. That's why we're going to praise Him. Because as I told you one night, the night that I got saved, my sins went one way and I went the other. And we'll never meet again. That's full salvation, man. Hope you know it. What happened? We were released from the chain of sin. That's chapter 1. But friend, here is not the chain of sin. Man, here's the stain of sin. What's happened? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The blood not only releases from the chain of sin, but thank God to His precious name, it cleanses from the very stain of sin. Makes you white. That's God's word in this book, you know. White. Would you know that? That's God's word. And when I use this word in this book and look at it, I find myself rejoicing that this poor, hell-deserving sinner, stained with the filth and the pollution of sin, has been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. The stain of sin. Come with me to chapter 5 and see again the redeemed host as they sing unto Him that loved us. And what are they saying? Thou art worthy, for Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. And I get the picture of the pain of sin. That's all gone. All gone. Man, they're rejoicing, and they're blessing, and they're singing, and they're praising. Why? The pain of sin is past. They have known redemption. And thank God, they sing. When I come to chapter 12, friend, they overcame Him by the very blood of the Lamb, and loved not their lives unto death. What's that? I want to tell you, man, you're listening in the gospel meeting tonight. Young friend, listen. Not only does the blood of Christ release me from the chain of sin, and cleanses me from the stain of sin, and delivers me from the very pain of sin. I want to tell you, friend, one day, glorious day, it's going to remove me from the very domain of sin. Say goodbye to the scene someday, forever. How? By the blood of the Lamb. What about you? You sit in the meeting tonight, friend, you're bound by the bondage of the devil. That's Mark 5. You're stained by the plague and defilement of sin. That's still Mark 5. The little woman that our brother preached on the other night. And someday, man, you're going to feel the very penalty of sin when death takes you from the scene. That's still Mark 5. That's the child. If you want to get a little picture of that chapter and what's in my mind, friend, go to the hospital. And you go into the men's ward. What do you see? The effects of sin, man. You go to the woman's ward. What do you see? The effects of sin. And down the corridor, what have they got? The children's ward. The effects of sin. That's a little picture of the whole world. Before God. What has He done? He has sent a Redeemer. He has sent a Deliverer. He has sent a Son that shed His precious blood on Calvary. What to do? To deliver men and women and boys and girls from sin. How comprehensive. How glorious. What about you? Must the writhing pain of sin turn your very being eternally, friend? I could have been saved. I knew how to be saved. Others were being saved around me, but I missed it. I'm lost. I could have been cleansed. I should have been cleansed. There was provision for me in Calvary. But I'm not. Finally, the condition of the redeemed. My, what verses, friend. I wish you'd read them with a magnifying glass. Allow each word to burn into your very eyeballs, the eyeballs of your very being, man. What are they? Look what it says. Again, they're before the throne of God. What a standing. What a standing. Oh, to think of it, friend. I would feel it tremendously if I was asked tonight to go before Her Majesty. I wouldn't know what suit to get. I wouldn't know how to dress. I would feel all out of it, friend. Bold shall I stand in that great day. Who ought to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved in thee I am. By what? The blood of Calvary. It says, they serve Him day and night. What a service. And they're in His temple. Not good. What a sanctuary. And then they shall hunger no more. What a satisfaction. Neither shall the sun and light upon them, nor any heat. What a shelter. What a security. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. What a sustenance. And shall lead them unto fountains of waters. What a supply. And God shall wipe their tears from their eyes. No sorrow. It's God. Now, friend, if I had 10 minutes, 20 minutes, to what I would do? I'd take up each one of those statements and show you from the same book you're going to be in the very opposite. The last sight that you'll get will be that throne and the throne sitter into the lake of fire. Sorrow, suffering, pain, agony that no language could describe. Thirsting, hungering, passion burning, ungratifiable desire yearning and yearning ungratified. Loss, and loss forever. Maybe a father in heaven, eh? Maybe a mother in heaven. Maybe a brother in heaven. Maybe a sister in heaven. Maybe a son in heaven. Maybe a daughter in heaven. And you out. Close in with God's offer of mercy tonight, friend. Flee to the refuge of Calvary and be cleansed by the precious blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb.